in and okay, a famous, very famous, well-known hymn, The Old Rugged Cross. I want to read the chorus, The Old Rugged Cross. Obviously, the writer of this song and poem was referring to the cross of Christ, but in the chorus, he makes a subtle change. And I'm going to be looking at that idea this morning. In the chorus, he writes, "So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown." So this morning, idea is to exchange your cross for a crown. And so that's the thought process this morning. Matthew chapter 10, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand this, and I pray that this might be an encouragement that you have a long-term intention for us, each of us, for bearing a cross, and I pray that you'd help us to be faithful to that and to increase our faith and trust in thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Matthew 10, Jesus mentioned on several occasions about people carrying or taking up your cross. What does he mean by that? Okay, what is he talking about as far as taking up our cross? Now, a lot of times atheists will criticize God and Christianity because God will not answer some of our prayers, okay? And a lot of times if you got a cross in your life, and God doesn't answer, and an atheist will say, "Well, God doesn't care for you," or either he doesn't care or he's not there. But what if God has a reason for the cross that we're carrying? And if we look at a bigger, deeper meaning for that, and so in Matthew 10, Jesus said, "Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." Okay, so what's he talking about? Is he telling us that we got to get a 4x4 and go out and make a cross and carry it around like the fella in the Philippines? This fella in the Philippines, every spring, he'd get a cross and he'd take it out and get a big crowd and he'd act like he's carrying this cross. I think he put wheels on the bottom, so he's kind of cheating. And then he'd have somebody would take these stainless steel nails and they'd stick them in his wrist here and he'd be hanging on this cross for a while. And then they'd take him down and they'd interview him and say, "What are you doing this for?" He said, "Well, I feel like I'm atoning for my sins." And he did that several years in a row, until he stopped doing that. Is that what Jesus Christ is talking about? Well, obviously not. And there are some things when we read through the Bible, we got to sit down and think about it. He's not telling us to get a cross. He's not saying that we're going to get this cross and be on Mount Calvary. In fact, the cross that he's telling us about is not about salvation. And that's one thing we need to make sure we understand. He's not dealing with salvation. And so you take all these passages that he mentions a cross and you try to come up with what is he talking about. Now, he's addressing the disciples here. You'll see that in chapter 10, verse 5. And so a person does have to ask that question. Remember, when you read the Bible, you got to ask yourself, who's talking, to whom is he talking? And then you also got to ask, what time period is he dealing with? Jesus Christ is dealing with something pre-crucifixion, so that makes it kind of iffy for our day. So, but yet, and a lot of the undercurrent of Jesus' teaching was he was dealing with a bigger game, shall we say. Okay, where we're stuck here on earth, but he's dealing with eternity. So he's looking at that. And a lot of the things that Jesus Christ said, he is writing of, or talking about the tribulation time period and his second coming. So in this verse, is he telling us, in this passage, is he telling you and I, we are not supposed to love our parents? I mean, that's what he said. Is he saying that? No, that would contradict other passages in the Bible. In Luke chapter 14, 25, 26, 27, he says, if a man does not hate his father and his mother and his wife and his children, and he puts all this whole list, cannot be my disciple. So is he telling you and I that we are to hate, dislike our parents? Or does the word hate have a different meaning or another meaning? It obviously has one meaning of a dislike as we normally use it, but there are times when he says that if a man hate not his father and mother and his wife, well, he told the husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church, but yet here he says hate in Luke 14, 26. Is he putting it in a priority scale? So obviously he is. Okay, and so what is he talking about bearing our cross? In the Matthew 10 passage, we can see that he is talking about your foe, your enemy, being a family member. Isn't that what he said? Okay, and so he's dealing with relationships there. In verse 29, he's talking about a guy finding his life. And if you use a cross reference there, you'll find that he's talking about if a man save his life, he'd lose it. He's got to take up his cross. In other words, our personal desires of possibly getting wealth or anything like that. So if you take all these passages together, and then if you go to the hymn writer, he says we got to exchange our cross for a crown. But what if you don't get a cross? Then you don't get a crown. And so the idea this morning is help us to embrace the cross or crosses that God puts in our path. Okay, and so what is he talking about in these things? So the first thought I want to give you this morning about this, a cross is simply a crossroad in your life, where a cross is a perpendicular, where you and I have expectations in life. He's not dealing with the cross of Calvary. He's dealing with not salvation when he's mentioning these things. He's dealing with service, and he's dealing with discipleship when he's dealing with a cross. So it's not salvation. And if you look at all these passages, in Matthew 10, the cross refers to the foes within your family. Okay, in other words, do some of you experience harassment, opposition from a parent or a grandparent? Or an in-law. Oh, in-law, that's just normal. Okay, so in-laws, that's just how that goes. Maybe it's a sibling, a brother or sister. So, oh, you're going to church this morning? Oh, you're holier than thou. That's a cross. So what are we going to do? Are we going to appease our loved one, our family member, in order to get peace and in that process offend our God? See, where it can be family members. Now, what are we supposed to do as a believer is you do all you can to win your family members. Do everything you possibly can. Bend over backward. Do backflips and everything you can. If they're not saved, if they're not right with God, you do all that you can. But when they start demanding you to comply with, that's where we're going to have to, sorry. And they might become your foe. And the Lord says that's a cross. That's a cross that a person has to bear. In the Matthew chapter 6 passage, he talks about a guy saving his life. And that's, in other words, trying to use his life to get wealth. And the Lord says, if you save your life, you're going to lose it. He said, take up your cross. And he's not opposed. The Bible's not opposed to a person working, getting wealth and creating wealth and all those things. But he's just telling us that what if that's something that God doesn't have for your life? A cross, what is it? What's he talking about? You take all these passages that Jesus talks about a cross and you put them all together. A cross is anything that goes contrary to your expectation, your viewpoint, your security, your relationships. I thought that when I got saved and I do all I can to win my wife or my family members to the Lord, you know, then that's going to, they're going to come around. Maybe not. You can't force God's will upon them. A cross is anything that may go against your philosophy or your religion or your will. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. My will was crossing God's will. And so he complied with it and he took his cross. In Hebrews chapter 12, that cross, it says about Jesus, he endured the cross. He endured the shame. He despised the shame. He endured the cross. Sometimes the cross is a shame on your reputation. It's not evil, but it's a shame. Okay, what do I mean by some of these things? Okay, a cross can be persecution, direct persecution. That's what he was implying in Matthew 10. That's a cross that some believers throughout this world are carrying. Is a cross of persecution to be get saved in North Korea. Right now, if a person gets saved at 20 years old and their salvation is kind of made manifest to the community area, the lifespan, the average lifespan of a Christian in North Korea is 18 months. So if a person gets saved at 20 and if they live the average lifespan of a Christian, they're going to be dead in 18 months. That's a cross. You see, that's what they could lay low. They could believe Christ secretly. They could do all these things. And the Lord says, you save your life, you lose it. You take that cross and there's a crown that you can exchange it for someday. And some it's a trial. Some it's a trouble. In some cases, it's a divorce. You see, now, when I'm talking about these things, I'm not talking about self-inflicting where we are reaping what we sow, but even with that, it becomes a cross. In some cases, it can be a divorce. My wife's cousin, Cousin Danny. Cousin Danny, we'd go out to her family reunion. Most of them are Christians, nice family reunions. But Cousin Danny, if I would have guessed, Cousin Danny would not have been one of the cousins that was going to really get fired up for God. Cousin Danny was, man, he was a yuppie. High dollar, yuppie, high class. And I would have never guessed Cousin Danny would really get fired up for God. Well, Cousin Danny faced bankruptcy. Went on a 40-day fast. It was a juice fast. He had known me well enough. He said, I can go to Dave and start asking him some Bible questions. So we started talking. He said, I feel led to go down to Florida, go to this Bible school down in Florida. And I said, well, praise the Lord. His wife wouldn't go. What's he going to do? She wouldn't go. She got three preachers to write Cousin Danny. Said, you're not right with God because you left your wife to go down to Bible school. But it was a school that they didn't like. If it was a school they would have liked, they would have said, you're not right with God, dear lady, mama, wife, for not going with your husband. Cousin Danny goes from nice car, all these things, to riding his bicycle to go to Bible school on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. But he had a peace about him that I didn't see before. Cousin Danny goes in year one, year two, year three. He's about 4 months from graduation, gets served divorce papers. That's a cross. That's a terrible cross. Who wants to be a pastor and he's got divorce on his resume? Cousin Danny keeps going forward. He graduates. He's now pastoring a little church in Defoniac Springs. It is so redneck, it's redder than the red on these pews. That's the kind of redneck place he's at. But he is content serving God. And he's going to be, someday, he's going to exchange that cross for a crown. You see, that's a cross. The Lord got divorced, Isaiah chapter 50. Sometimes that cross is a loss of job, where a guy loses job because of his faith. Sometimes it's a sickness that just keeps the harboring, bothering your body. Sometimes it's a handicap. Sometimes it's poverty. Okay, where that's just something's happened in that person's life. Sometimes it's in-laws that just continually harass. Oh, you're homeschooling. Oh, I can't believe that. You put them in public school. What about their social life? You're just trying to shelter your kids. Okay, sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's trials for a parent with your adult children. Sometimes it's a death of a loved one. Sometimes it's a victim of abuse. A lot of bad things happen within families. A victim of crime. Sometimes it's a cross that you and I have to carry or bear is government intrusion, legal plunder. Okay, what if, okay, for example, the Lord Jesus, here he is, he's in the womb of Mary. Joseph has got a side job or a job up in Nazareth. He's a carpenter, so he's got a job up in Nazareth. Things weren't going real well down in Bethlehem. That's his hometown. So he goes up to Nazareth where some work was up there, and he's doing some work up there, and a Roman tyrant says, you got to pay your taxes, but you got to go down to your hometown to pay these things. No, you can't send it in the mail. What gives you the right to say that? No, I just got the right because I got the authority. So you got to hightail it and get out of here. You got to go to your hometown. You know, in our mind, to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem 90 miles is about, you know, depends how fast you get on the highway. You know, I can get there probably 70 minutes, but you get there. But we're talking donkey transportation. And she's 9 months pregnant. And they got to go from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. Why? Because some tyrant, some narcissist type tyrant says, you got to pay your taxes down here in your hometown. And boy, do we get grumbling about that, don't we? Go to the BMV. Oh, we get a bad attitude when I walk in a BMV. Just bad attitude right off the bat. Hey, that's a cross that you got to bear. Why? We're going to trade for that someday. How about somebody just harassing you or peer pressure or split custody? Yeah, that's a cross. Split custody where you got one party is just a constant narcissist and doing everything they can to try to manipulate the children against one other party. And that's some things that people have to endure, a broken family. Sometimes it's prison. Sometimes it's war. A cross can be unique to every single person. It can be brief, it can be long, or it can be until death. Doesn't matter. Jesus Christ humbled himself and became obedient even unto death. And that's what a cross, sometimes you can have two or three crosses at the same time. It's any hindrance that's coming from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it can be family, it can be outside of family, it could be friends, it could be on the job. But a cross is a crossroad in life. I didn't expect that this would happen when I got saved. When a person in our mind said, I'm going to get married, I'm going to serve the Lord in my marriage, and all of a sudden, boom, divorce. Couldn't be helped. You see? So what is that? That's a cross that people carry. Second thought I want to give you is, in this day, if you would look in Luke chapter 6, believers who demand a crown on earth diminish the cross in eternity. This is Christian television. Of course, you know, I've mentioned enough about Christian television. You sit there and watch, and I'm thinking, oh, man, there's all the clowns aren't in a circus, they're on TV. But Christian television, they're thinking, you got to get your crown now. Oh, Jesus, the coat that Jesus had was seamless. That proves that Jesus was rich. I've heard them say that. And so that means that you're supposed to get rich in this life. Yeah, but if you're demanding your crown here on earth, you're going to diminish your cross in eternity. How about Luke chapter 6, verse 20? Now, this is Jesus Christ preaching a sermon on a plane. It's not an airplane. It's not the Sermon on the Mount. It is a different sermon. He's got some of the same ideas. He says, blessed are the poor. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Okay, what are we supposed to do with that? Well, I want to be a part of the kingdom of God, so I'm going to get rid of everything I got. No, you got to learn to rightly divide these things. Is there a time period in life, according to Bible history, that a person should not be rich, should not have any bank accounts, should be poor? Yes, sir. That's called the tribulation time period. And they better be poor, because when they're poor in a tribulation, they're rich in faith. Okay, and that's often the undercurrent he's writing about. Blessed are ye that hunger now. Oh, does that mean we can't have a potluck? Come on, that's a major Baptist doctrine. I mean, fellowship and doctrine, it says in Acts chapter 2, and fellowship, the underlying meaning, is throwing food in there. So are we going to take a nice little plaque and put it above the kitchen, you know, the little doorway in the kitchen? Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Yeah, I'm hungry right now, and I'm going in there. I'm going to get filled. He said, blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Somebody told me in the past, every tear that you shed here on earth is an investment in a joy in heaven. He says, and when blessed are ye when men shall hate you. Oh, that's nice. And when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Make sure we're doing it for the right reason, not because I'm a jerk or something. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. So how do we handle these passages? We got to rightly divide the word of truth. Okay, believers who demand a crown on earth diminish the crown in eternity. The third thought, a cross is simply a testing of the servant of the Lord. If you would look in 2 Thessalonians, I was reading through this and got real big encouragement out of these things. Abraham was given a test. It could be, we could call it Abraham's cross. He was given a test to sacrifice Isaac. He passed the test, and Abraham is the one that's going to inherit the promises. So that kind of gives us a foundation there that when we have these crosses that a person takes, yes, I think you ought to pray to the Lord and ask him, would you take this cross away, this hassle? I think you ought to pray for that. But if the Lord says no, like he said to Paul three times, no, I'm not taking that thorn in the flesh away. I'm not going to take it away. Then we just say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, this church was a church that Paul bragged about to other churches, and he said this, we are bound to thank God always for you. Verse 3, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Now that usually doesn't go hand in hand. Usually when a person grows in knowledge, the knowledge puffeth up, and they usually say, well, you ding-a-ling, you should know that. But he said here, not only did their faith grow, but their charity grew. And then he says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Okay, so they're enduring some great trials, persecution, tribulations. He says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted, notice, worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Now, in this context, this is not the kingdom of God reference. This is not the spiritual aspect. This is the physical aspect. Why? Because he's dealing with the actual aspect of it at the millennial time period, where a person who is born again are promised to see the kingdom of God, promised to enter the kingdom of God, referring to the millennial time period. But that's not promising to be a participant of it, to serve with Jesus Christ. The worthiness of verse 5 is conditioned upon our response of the suffering or carrying the cross of verse 5. He says, seeing is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. God's going to take care of the ones that's causing harassments, the troublemaker. And to you who are troubled, notice he says, rest with us. When the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, there's where it's going to be made manifest, at his glory. If you would, drop down to verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in the saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. The worthiness is dealing with a calling. Okay, so maybe the cross that God's got in your past, maybe it's been going long enough and you say, okay, Lord, this is long enough. Don't you think it's long enough? Come on. And the Lord says, your prayers feel like they're hitting the ceiling like a Super Bowl. Lord, where are you at? Didn't it say you shall supply all my needs? Yeah, it says that. Okay, then I need you to do this. No. And a person can say, get to doubt God's love and says, what about that? What about this? What about that? And the Lord says, yeah, what about it? And the Lord's looking down in eternity. That's where he's looking. And he's saying to us, if you want a crown, you've got to have a cross. You're not going to get those medals on your chest unless you get shot at. I mean, it's not going to happen. They don't pass out, Nobel Peace Prize and nobody doesn't do anything. Well, they did Obama. Okay, but that don't matter. I mean, that's just the world. How about Romans chapter 8? Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's somebody that is bedridden. I tell you, the judgment seat of Christ is going to be a very educational time period, where some of these big-time evangelists come in and they think they're going to get it shelled out. And the Lord says, don't think so. You already got yours. And then here comes somebody, a Christian that's been bedridden for 20 years. And the Lord says, you sure did a fantastic job bearing that cross. And I'm going to shell it out right now. And then they walk away with all the blessings, because that is a cross to be bearing. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So there's salvation. So what's offered to every child? And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. But the sentence is not done yet. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. The Lord is looking at the glory time. And then he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We're shedding the tears down here trying to bear this cross, and there's times where your gut is just going to be so just aching because of the cross down here. And then when you hit the judgment seat of Christ, and when the Lord throws all those crowns out, the Lord, and then you're going to look back and said, just so much better. You see, and it's like the pain of birth. A child is born, and then there's the joy of the child. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, he talks about faith that is tried is as gold. Okay, now, I'm going to be honest about that. My faith is not gold. Mine's more like tin, maybe at that level. Maybe plastic sometimes, you get wondering about it when you're going through your tough times. But the Bible talks about faith that's tried, and that's faith during the trial is like the gold of heaven. Not saying that we're not going to question at times. Yeah, we're going to question at times. But the ultimate golden faith is demonstrated by some men in the Bible. How about James? James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James, are you crazy? When my, when I got fired from a job because of, some things a person stands for. Not me in particular, but maybe that happens to people. Okay, and so I remember years ago I was a contractor for detasseling corn, and that's a reverse milking of a cow. You pull it up this way, and the guy said, you can get to a certain field, and I was making pretty good money off that because I was a contractor and I had all these people under me and paying them. And he says, but you got to take that field on Sunday. I said, no, can do. Can't do it on Sunday. That was just the way the situation worked for me. I can't do that. Most of these kids are churchgoers, and I ain't going to do that to them. He said, well, then you don't get the field. Fine. No problem. Lost some money. Tough apples. That's part of it. That's a cross. Lord's going to pay back. I'm not saying that you work on Sunday, you're wrong. I'm not saying that. Obviously, different jobs, the way things go. But just in that situation, that was something that I just wasn't going to do. Okay? And James 1, he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So when you see this cross, when you get under the bearer of this cross, James says, count it all joy. You got to be crazy, James. Who's he talking to? He's talking to people in the tribulation who are running for their lives. And as they're running, he says, count it all joy. You're nuts, man. Well, if you want golden faith, trust the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 4, he demonstrates his golden faith. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. He said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Can you believe that happened? Well, I believe it. Can you believe what's going on in the churches these days? Yeah, I believe it. I see it all the time. Can you believe so-and-so said that and the way they react? It don't make sense. I know spirits don't make sense. Don't try to think logical. When you're dealing with people who are infested with spirits, narcissists, or whatever you want to call them, sociopaths, don't try to forget logic because there's no logic in it. Spirits are not logical. And so you just don't, you just trust in the Lord on those things. He says in verse 13, he says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. That's when we'll really be glad. Now, but now, he says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. So there's not, okay, if a guy is suffering for those reasons, that's how it goes. You deserved it. But when we suffer for Christ, in verse 12, 13, and 14, for the Bible, for things that are true, that's a cross. How about Paul, the Apostle Paul? I mean, the Apostle Paul, I bet you so many of those guys thought, man, he needs to be put in a straitjacket. Something is definitely wrong with this guy. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll see that Paul prayed three times about this thorn in the flesh. A messenger of Satan to buffet him. That messenger of Satan is usually a person. So he usually had an individual that was just a continual, whose ministry was to tell you about your blind spots. Usually that's a mother-in-law, how that works. Okay, but, and the third time the Lord says, nope, not going to do. Not going to answer your prayer, Paul. I hear it. I hear you. I understand your frustration. I understand you feel that it hinders you. But in this case, carry the cross. And verse 9, he said unto me, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul's golden faith is made manifest, where he said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. And then he says, I am become a fool. That is true. I mean, reality, you got to be crazy. No, he's looking long term. He's looking at eternity. He says, I am become a fool in glorying. That's right. He is glorying in eternity. Okay, so illustration, here's like this. Okay, everybody now is going to be an owner of a jewelry store. You own a jewelry store, gold, you buy gold and silver. Okay, and we're going to up your ages to about 75. You own this jewelry store, but you don't have any children, no grandchildren. Okay, so, but you would like your jewelry store, you got your name on there. You would like to give it to somebody who's worthy to continue your business. Who are you going to choose? Now, anybody can walk in your store and buy, right? They got the money. They can walk in your store. Anybody who walks in that store can buy gold for you, silver from you, or they can buy any coin they got in there, any necklace, any ring. Anybody that walks in that door can buy from you. That's like salvation. Anybody can come to Jesus Christ and get saved. But if somebody walks in that door and they say, I'd like to work for you. Oh, well, not anybody that walks through that door can work for me. I mean, and the guy says, well, I kind of got sticky fingers. Okay, you're out. Get out of here. You don't work for me. Okay, if somebody walks in that door and asks to work for you, they're going to have to meet some qualifications, are they not? Anybody can walk in and buy something, there's salvation. But anybody that walks in order to serve in this guy's store, they got to meet some qualifications. Okay, he hires a guy. Hires another guy. Has about six or seven people in employment there. But he's trying to figure out which one of these I want to continue my business upon my death. So what's he going to do? He's going to test them. He'll probably leave a watch sitting by one case where just to see if somebody's going to heist it, put it in their pocket, figure out who did it. Okay, that's not one I want. And he's going to be watching them for months and months, and he's going to check their honesty. He's going to do all he can. And once he makes a decision, okay, this one he's going to pull it aside. He said, I've been watching you for a long time. I can see that you are honest. I can see that you are you have some good fidelity. You have some good integrity. I would like you to consider, would you like to continue on this business upon my death? Now, would not any of us agree to those methods? We have a God in heaven that anybody can walk in the door and get saved. But not anybody that walks in that door can serve that God, because there's some qualifications you got to meet. Now, that God has a job that's coming up. He's going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to set up a perfect kingdom on this earth. Now, he don't need our help, but he would like some help. Not that he needs us, but he would like some help. And so earth time, you know what earth time is? It's not the real show. Earth time is practice. Earth time is warm up before the game. When's the game? Millennium. That's the game. In practice, the judge or the coach is yelling and screaming, get on that line, kids, staggers. Run, 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 run. You hear the guys, big guys, you know, us young, our, us shorter guys, shut up, be quiet, let's go. I mean, he is putting them through the ringer during practice. Why? He wants them to play good in a game. We have a God in heaven that's got a game coming up. Jesus Christ is going to set up a game. He's going to win. He'd like some participants in his game. And who's he going to give a crown in that game? The ones who carry their crosses. And he's going to, in that game time, he's going to say, let's see your cross. I've been carrying this for a long time, Lord. He said, well, here's what I got for you. Wow, that is so much better. I can't imagine how that exceeds the crosses I've been carrying. The Lord said, yeah, I've been watching that. Look at this crown. It's got a little bit of gold on it. He said, well, that crown right there, that little weak part, you know, you kind of faltered a little bit, but that's okay. We still got that good crown here. Put a couple jewels in there for you. You like that? Yeah. Yeah. That's where the worthiness he's talking about on the cross, the harassments, the things that we go through in this life because we're a believer, the Lord's got that set up perfectly. That he wants to give a crown, but in order to get the crown, we got to have the cross. So maybe possibly we could embrace that cross. Be faithful to the Lord. Especially if it's a long-term thing where it doesn't look like he's going to take it away. And stay true to the Lord. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray and ask that you'd help us to look at the big picture. Lord, I know there's things I've prayed for and it just feels like it's hitting the ceiling. And I suppose you're looking long-term and I'm looking short-term. And Lord, I pray that there are some things that everybody in this room, there's a cross everybody in this room has that they're to take up, sometimes two, three, four, five crosses, sometimes short term, sometimes long term, sometimes lifetime. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to, like the songwriter wrote about the old rugged cross, someday I'm going to exchange it for a crown. And Lord, I pray that this was a big help, a big encouragement to folks that have these crosses. Tough ones, big ones, heavy ones. And Lord, help us to carry these crosses and be faithful to you. And Lord, help us to be able to get to the point where we can actually say thank you for the cross that you have for each and every one of us. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. The piano will play. The altar's open. If you'd like to use it, that's fine. Sometimes the rejection comes from other Christians. All different crosses come in all different sizes, weights, different things, testings, trials, troubles, harassments. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you that we can enjoy some time together in a potluck. And I pray that you'd help us to see that the trial of our faith is much more precious than gold. I pray you'd help us to rest in that fact. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay.